The Detroit Pistons extend their losing streak to 8, but this was a good loss. When was the last time they had a good loss? We'll talk about everything that happened in last night's game against the Phoenix Suns in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. This episode is brought to you by Truebill. Truebill is the new app that saves you money by helping you identify and stop paying for the subscriptions you don't want or need, and can even negotiate better deals on those you want to keep. What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. I'm your host, Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. And if you want to find the best way to support the podcast, again, like I tell you guys at the beginning of every episode, go over to the YouTube channel, hit the subscribe button. Even if you don't like watching the visual version, you like listening to the podcast, I don't blame you. But if you want to find the best way to support the podcast, go over there, hit the subscribe button. We're just trying to get to 1,000 subscribers by the end of the year. We're 2 subscribers as of this recording away from 700, so we're just over 300 away. Once again, if you want to support the podcast, go over there. It's the best way to support us. I'd really appreciate it. But yeah, man, we had a fun game to watch against the Phoenix Suns. Now, heading into the game, I'm sure everyone thought this was going to be a bit of a blowout. It was looking ugly early, I'm not going to lie. It was looking tough. But things started to steady out a little bit, and the Pistons went on a 17-0 run in the third quarter and really made it a game. They had it at a one-point game in the second half, late second half. So it was a fun game to watch. I had fun watching. I'm sure you guys did as well. And let's talk about some of the good things that happened tonight. Majority starters, the bench outside of Hamidou Diallo, played awful. They were really, really bad. But the starters, majority of the starters played really well. They had a really good game. But yeah, let's dive into it a little bit further. So one thing that the main thing about this game that I liked the most was Cade Cunningham. Cade showed something tonight, I thought, that was absolutely big time. So if you didn't watch the game, and even if you did watch the game, I'm going to go through it with you. But if you didn't watch the game, Cade Cunningham picked up 3 fouls within like the first 6 minutes of the game. Chris Paul was able to do a rip through foul, which, by the way, I thought they removed those from like being called fouls. I could have sworn that was like removed out of the rule book. I hadn't seen anyone really do it all year, and Chris Paul did it like twice. He did it once on Killian and once on Cade. But either way, Cade had 2 fouls. The Pistons kept him out there for an extra possession, and then Chris Paul, you know, sought him out, did the rip through foul, got 3 on him. You could tell, 100% Chris Paul did this on purpose. He's a smart player. He 100% was trying to get Cade out the game. And he did. So Cade had 3 fouls throughout the first 6 minutes of the game, and it looked like it was about to be a really tough game for the Pistons, because Killian ended up picking up his second like a minute or two later, doing the same thing with Chris Paul over on the right wing. So it looked like it was going to be a tough game. But then Cade, instead of letting this game keep him down, instead of letting the 3 fouls in the first 6 minutes keep him down, he went on to have probably his best quarter of the season in the third quarter, where he scored, I believe, 15 or 17 points. I believe it was 17 points in that third quarter for the Pistons, where they went, no, actually, it was 15 points where the Pistons went on a 17-0 run. I confused my numbers. But yeah, the Pistons went on a 17-0 run in that third quarter, and it had a large part to do with Cade Cunningham, who absolutely took over the game in the third quarter. That's absolutely big time to see from Cade. He could have let the early foul trouble keep him down. He could, you know, played lackadaisical or played, you know, less aggressive to try to avoid foul calls, even on the offensive end. Avoid, like, you know, offensive fouls and get him out the game. He definitely started to play a little bit tentative on defense, but you can't really blame him. He definitely didn't want to pick up another foul, especially with, you know, Coach Casey trusting him earlier on in the game, and he picked up one when they tried trusting him. He definitely didn't want to pick up another foul defensively. But offensively, like I said, it's big time to see him fight through that kind of adversity against a team like the Phoenix Suns. Again, Phoenix is currently, what is it, 18 games now? 18-game winning streak. This team is arguably the best team in the league right now. And he did that against them, against Chris Paul, against Mikal Bridges, pretty good defenders. He was playing really well in that second half of the Pistons. He ended up struggling a little bit down the stretch in the fourth quarter. He had 3 turnovers in that quarter. But, you know, that's going to come with the process. And we all know that turnovers is part of the area that Cade Cunningham has to improve on. He had 5 tonight again. That's going to be, you know, it's going to be a learning thing for him with the turnovers, especially a high usage player. Most high usage players have high turnover rates. you know, there are some that don't like Chris Paul. Chris Paul's really good at keeping his turnovers down, but Kate, it's going to be a learning process for him with turnovers. But outside of that, man, I thought Kate had a really good game. I thought it was one of his better games of the season. He shot 8 of 15 from the floor, 3 of 5 from deep. Again, just the resiliency to keep going and you know, to fight through. And the Pistons, not only was he fighting through his own adversity through having 3 fouls early and having to only play, I think he only played like 7 minutes in the first half. From having to fight through that, he ended up also having to fight through the adversity of the fact that the Pistons were down big time in the second half, early third quarter. It was looking like it was about to get out of hand. It was going to get ugly. And Cade spearheaded a 17-0 run by the Pistons, and it's a treat to see. He definitely looked like, and if you're watching it on the Bally Sports Detroit channel, you heard Greg Kelser and George Blaha. I think that's the most excited we've heard them all season. Like, George Blaha, I mean, there's been a lot of people talking about how he's declining a little bit in his commentary, but that third quarter when Cade went crazy, that's probably the best he's commentated a game in a long time. He was getting really excited, but yeah, Cade's really good, man. Cade's really good. There was a few times when he navigated a pick and roll that was just beautiful to see. Snaked a pick and roll perfectly with Chris Paul on him, was able to keep him on his back and get a running hook layup shot going to his right. It was really pretty to see from Cade, man. I thought he had a good game. If he didn't get in that early foul trouble, I think we might be looking at like a 25-point game from Cade tonight. But overall, just a really great game from Cade. I think everyone should be excited about what they saw from him tonight. Obviously, just excited in general because it's Cade Cunningham. But tonight's game, or last night's game, was really good to see. Not only from his perspective, but the fact that he spearheaded a 17-0 run that kept the Pistons as a team in a game against what is likely the best team in the NBA right now on an 18-game win streak. They pushed them to their limits. They ended up losing by 11, but this game was really close. They kept it at a one-possession game for a lot of the second half. It was really close. So, you know, I think they can be happy about that. They can be proud about that. This is one of those losses they can be, you know, proud of. You know, last year they had a lot of these type of losses, which is why they were so much fun to watch. This season, it's been a lot of blowouts. It's been a lot of bad losses, a lot of just, you know, non-competitive losses. That's why it's been so tough to watch this game. And behind Cade Cunningham and a few other players, which we'll talk about later in the podcast, but behind Cade Cunningham, the Pistons were able to have a competitive game against what is likely the best team in the NBA, push them to the limits, push them to the final wire, and, you know, they can be happy about that. You're probably not going to beat the Phoenix Suns. The Pistons are not going to beat the Suns, but you can fight them to the very end and push them, and that's what they did. So they should be happy about that. And I think Dwayne Casey will come away relatively happy with his team's performance tonight, and I think majority of the starters should as well. But when we come back, we'll talk about some of the other players that had really good nights as well, and Killian Hayes and Jeremy Grant, and then we'll also talk about some players who are continuing to struggle, along with the entirety of the bench outside of Hamidou Diallo putting up an absolute dumpster fire of a game. But first, we got to talk about some of our sponsors. First up, let me tell you a little bit about Truebill. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forget about. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. Because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions all in one tap. And your Truebill accounts are just there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to. Truebill also has over 2 million users that help them save over $100 million. So don't fall for the subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now to Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. That's Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. So I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And again, if you're not watching this on YouTube already, if you're watching this on YouTube and you're not subscribed, man, what you doing? Go down there and hit that subscribe button. But if you're listening to this on the podcast version, you're wondering what's the best way to support the podcast show. Cool. I like listening to you every day, man. You know, you're actually pretty fun to listen to. You know what you're talking about. You want to show me that? You want to show love for the podcast? Go ahead over to the YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. We're trying to get to 1,000 subscribers by the end of the year. As of this recording, we are at 698. We're 2 away from 700. So, you know, again, if you guys want to find the best way to support the podcast, show that you love the work that's put into it, to go to the YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button. I'd really appreciate it. But yeah, we spent the first segment really giving Cade Cunningham a bunch of praise. But there's a few other players that deserve praise as well. First, you know, I'm going to save Jeremy Grant for last because, you know, he dropped 34 points. And, it, you know, there's just two other players I'd rather talk about first. Isaiah Stewart. Now, we just had a podcast last week, I think, talking about his struggles so far this season, about how much he's, you know, obviously how much he's struggling to contribute offensively. I thought he was okay defensively. He's been doing his thing defensively. But offensively, he had been really struggling to make an impact this season for the Detroit Pistons. And it was, shocking to see, because last year he was pretty decent at making an impact offensively. He wasn't out there, you know, Dirk Nowitzki in the post or anything. He wasn't out there demanding touches. But he was making an impact offensively last year. So we spent a podcast last week going over everything that's wrong with Isaiah Stewart and how he can possibly, you know, get back on track and what's going wrong with him right now. Right now, we're back-to-back games of double-doubles for Isaiah Stewart. And I'm really happy for him. I'm really happy to see it. You know, a lot of people, if you criticize any young guys, you start calling how you see it. You know, everyone loves the young guys when they in their rookie year. Everyone loves the rookies. They're the new shiny toy. But as soon as they go to their second year, as soon as you start criticizing them, people start going a little crazy. And you know what? I get it. I understand it. I started to receive a little bit of pushback for the things I was saying by Isaiah Stewart, but I was just calling it how I see it. I was calling it how he is playing. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. That's like I'm not going to sugarcoat how he's been absolutely tremendous the last two games. He had 12 points tonight, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block. He shot 6 of 7 from the field. I was really happy to see it from him tonight. I thought he had a really good game tonight. He played 35 minutes. The team kept him out there. They trusted him. He deserved to be out there. And something I want to point out, and, you know, we've talked about this a lot with Isaiah Stewart on the podcast, is that the last two games, and I really don't think it's a coincidence. Obviously, I believe last game, the game before this last one, he only hit one mid-range jumper, but this past one he took 2, and he made both of them. So I really do think, I'm going to keep hammering this home, not only did Isaiah Stewart prove to us in his rookie season that he can't hit these shots, it's shots that he should want to take. We talked about his percentages from that two-point area. I believe he was shooting like 52% from 10 to 16 feet, 43% from 16 to 3-point range. You know, he can hit these shots effectively. So the fact that he just wasn't taking them was really shocking, and it was hurting him and the Pistons' offense. The last two games, he's increasing it. He's starting to take them a little bit more. And I don't think it's coincidence that, along with that, the last two games have been probably two of his best games of the season outside the Toronto game. But, yeah, these past two games have been really good for him. So I think that's something that he has to continue to take. He needs to continue to take these mid-range jumpers when guys like JaVale McGee are just playing 10 feet off of him. Isaiah Stewart was catching the ball at the high post, and JaVale McGee was underneath the rim. That's just utter disrespectful, especially for a guy, like I said, in Isaiah Stewart, that can hit that shot. This isn't Dwight Howard we're talking about or something. Isaiah Stewart can hit these shots really well. So, it kind of says, you know, teams disrespect him that much really shows that teams see that he's just being reluctant to shoot these. Now, I tweeted out that, you know, I need to know what was said to him that's making him hesitant to take these shots. Am I saying the coaching staff is saying, Isaiah, don't take these shots? No, I never said that, even though people try to twist my words and say I'd said that. That's not what I'm saying. I feel like something was said to him, though, that's making him hesitant, something that's in the back of his mind that's keeping him, you know, a little bit more scared to take them. I don't think he was this scared to take them last year. He was shooting them immediately. You gave him that space, he was taking them. Now it's like you're pulling teeth to get him to shoot it. It's like, Isaiah, you can hit these shots. We want you to do it. You're good at these. Do it. You're good at it. So, you know, I'm really happy to see that from Isaiah. He needed to have these kind of games, and he did. And it's fun to see. And he really, like I said, he really needed these. And I think all of us are really happy to see that from him. Hopefully he can continue to string these good games together, start taking these jumpers a little bit more. And the offense is going to look better more. It's going to look proactive or, you know, just better with him on the floor when he takes these kind of shots. Like tonight, the Pistons scored over 100 points. You know, that's like a goal now for the Pistons. Let's just get to 100 points and we'll call it a win. And I think Isaiah Stewart had a lot to do that. So really good game from Isaiah Stewart. Next person we're going to talk about, Killian Hayes. Killian Hayes, I thought, you know, Greg Kelser came out and said that he thought that this was Killian Hayes' best half as a Piston. That's false. That's just not true. The game earlier this season where he was just all over the place defensively, I believe he hit like a 3 and a layup in the first half. He may not have had 10 points, but he was literally all over the place. His fingerprints were all over the game in the first half. He was the Pistons' best player through the entirety of a first half. I believe it was, I forget who it was against, but it was like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, before he hurt his thumb, I think. Actually, no, I think it was the first game after he hurt his thumb. He had the wrap on it. He was all over the place on the defensive end and on the offensive end creating opportunities. So basically, I don't think this was his best half as a Piston. I think that's far from the truth. He even had some good games last year. That one game, I think it was against the Bulls when he had 21 points. It definitely wasn't his best half as a Piston. I don't agree with that. But it was a really good half from him, and it was one of his best games this season. And this is something that you're continuing to see from Killian. He's looking better and better each game, and we're going to continue to talk about it. I think Pistons fans should really be excited about Killian. I'm not going to lie. I think you guys, you know, people were really getting low on Killian coming into the season, but I think what you've seen from him this year, I don't see how you can't be excited. Everyone said we need to see improvements from him. We need to see him get better. He's literally looked better week after week after week after week. He's looking better each time he comes on the floor. He's not even at 50 games into his NBA career yet. We're not even halfway through the NBA season. I can't wait to see what he looks like next year. But this game, let's get back to this game. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. He, once again, shot 2 of 4 from deep. He was 2 of 2 from deep in the first half. The second half, he took 2 contested ones. Either way, 2 ones I thought he should have made, he could make. But either way, I thought he had a really good game. He had 10 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks. He was a team-high plus 8 on the floor. He played 32 minutes in an 11-point loss and was a plus 8. Him and Cade were – Killian was a plus 8. Cade was a plus 5, the 2 highest plus-minuses on the team. That backcourt, we've talked about it now the last 3 podcasts now. That backcourt, they're playing really well together. They love playing with each other. That backcourt is going to be extremely fun to years to watch. And there was people – you guys were out there questioning – whether that backcourt would work together. Man, I tried telling you guys. That backcourt is going to be so much fun to watch, man. They're gelling together. Killian and Cade have like this chemistry. I don't know if you guys are noticing. When Cade is handling the ball, Killian's starting to move really well off the ball and get these backdoor cuts, and Cade's looking for him. This is now, I think, like the 3rd or 4th time I've seen them score in the last few games off backdoor cuts. And that's another way that, you know, it's crazy because the way Killian is figuring out right now, I don't think it's how people thought he was going to figure out. He's figuring it out a lot through off ball. And after this, we'll move on to Jeremy Grant. I want you guys to watch this moving forward. Killian, he missed that one mid-range tonight in the second half. But this is what you guys really need to watch for. He's starting to probe in the mid-range when he gets his screen. He's starting to force and get to his spots. Now, he needs to make those mid-ranges. That was a really tough miss. But either way, he needs to make those ones. But you can see he's starting to learn, okay, I know how to leverage my body. I know how to get to the spots I want. I know that I'm bigger than these guys, and I'm going to get where I want to get. And you've seen that a lot the last few games, and that was the next step. A lot of us, I made the mistake sometimes saying the next step was him just finishing around the rim. Before finishing around the rim, you need to create advantages for yourself in between that area that helps you get easier finishes at the rim. And I'm telling you guys, over the past week and a half or so, he's showing that he's learning that, hey, I'm 6'5 with long arms. I'm stronger than just about anyone that's going to guard me. And even if a guy puts a body in me, I'm going to get to my spot. And he's doing that really well the last week and a half or so. I'm telling you, watch that moving forward. If he can continue to get better at that, I'm telling you, you guys should be really excited about Killian moving forward if he can get all that together. Because he's already figuring out the off-ball stuff. He might be the Pistons' best catch and shooter right now. So I'm really excited about Killian. This is just another game in that development, and I'm really happy to see that. We're running a little bit longer in the second segment, but I want to go ahead and give props to Jeremy Grant. Now listen, Jeremy scored 34 points this game. He had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and a block. He absolutely played a great game. He was attacking mismatches, which, again, people, I just want to explain this one more time to you guys. There's a few people who hit me up and try arguing with me about this. Jeremy is a good player when he plays to his strengths. Tonight, he was not playing well because he was isolating. He was playing off his guards who were creating good shots for him. The team was hunting out mismatches for him, getting him posted up on Cameron Payne and shorter guards, and he was able to get to the free throw line because of it, because help was coming, and he was attacking the basket. That's why he had a great game tonight. He shot 14 free throws, made 12 of them. That's why Jeremy Grant had a great game tonight. So when he's attacking the rim and he's playing within himself and he's letting the team to make these let me slow down. When he's letting the team create these advantages for him, is what I was trying to say, that's when he's at his best. Not when he's out there trying to isolate and take long twos, which is what I was criticizing him for on Twitter at the end of the game last night. At the end of the game, just because you're efficient throughout the entire night doesn't mean you get to just go back to the bad stuff and we get to just say, forget it. That's not how it works. I'm just confused about why people think that's how it goes. When, you know, he should have kept doing what was working for him. Not go back. He airballed a long two tonight. He took another or late in the game. He took another dribble pull up long two that was badly missed. And it was just like, why are you doing this? Just because he had a good night before that doesn't mean you just let him do BS after that. Go back to what's working for you. You've shot 14 free throws. The refs are on your side. You're creating mismatches for yourself. Attack the guards. They don't have no one at the rim that's really stopping you. Keep going. It was working for the Pistons. It was working for Jeremy. That doesn't mean, you know, I'm feeling myself now. Now let me go ahead and take a bunch of bad shots. That's not how it works. And, you know, that was just my biggest pet peeve. I know people will say, Coop, he had 34 points. Why are you even talking about any of that? Because, man, it's the person we had on the podcast, on the last podcast, Hal Brittius, host of the Busted Headed podcast, said it best. Bad process that results in good results every now and then does not make it good process. Bad process that majority of the time leads to bad results just because it happens to be good once in a while doesn't mean you keep doing it. Jeremy was doing the right thing. He was playing off his team. The team was looking really good because of it. Jeremy looked tremendous doing it. But then late in the game, like we've talked about, it was a concern last year. He struggled with it, and he struggled with it this year as well. Once it gets late in games, he goes away from what's working all night. He starts going back into these bad habits. I'm going to continue to call it out until it stops. I don't care if he scored 50 points before the fourth quarter. If when the fourth quarter arrives, he starts taking shots from half court, are we going to give him a pass? No. I'm not going to stop calling it out until he gets better at that. It's a very obvious negative that he has to improve in his game. He had a great game tonight overall, giving it to him. Again, he stuffed the stat sheet. He looked really good tonight. But late in the game, as has been during his Pistons career thus far, he resorts to bad habits. And the Pistons need to help him get that out of his head. And he needs to get better at that. It's just that I don't see what's so critical, what's so wrong with pointing that out. But yeah, we ran pretty long in that second segment. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the players on the bench that absolutely let the Pistons down, and one player in the starting lineup who let the Pistons down again. And it's getting pretty bad. It's getting to a point where I'm actually sad watching him. But we'll talk about which player we're talking about when we come back from the ad break. But first, let me tell you guys about you guys' favorite sponsor, Built Bar. This holiday season, grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, or even better than a candy bar, Built Bar. Filled with so much holiday goodness, rich with decadent flavor, covered in chocolate, but amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, but high in protein. You get the best of both worlds, delicious and healthy. So many flavors, you'll have a hard time choosing from. Will you have raspberry or mint brownie, cherry or double chocolate, cookies and cream, or peanut butter brownie? I'm telling you guys all right now, peanut butter brownie, that's the way to go. Built Bar gives you that extra fuel you need to bust down those mall doors and bow all the holiday shoppers. Or if you're just standing in endless shopping lines, Built Bar can give you that extra something to keep you going. So throw in one on your jacket or in your jacket or your purse. You never know when you're going to need it. Because it's a season of peace and love, don't bring up your favorite Built Bar flavor at family parties. People are so passionate about their favorite flavor, they'll fight for it and things could get out of hand. You friends with Santa? Well, tell Santa to throw a few Built Bars in those stockings. With so many flavors, they'd make anyone's Christmas morning a happy one. You want to cozy up with something warm? Here's a holiday secret. Dip your Built Bar into some hot cup of cocoa. Let it melt a little. Give your beverage a bit of that Built Bar flavor. Plus, you'll have a nice melty Built Bar to go with it. Be sure to have a couple napkins on hand. I think that might help you out. So, go to Built.com, use promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your order. That's Built.com, use promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your order. Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. So again, I want to thank you guys for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you want to find the best way to support the podcast and you're not already watching us over on YouTube and you're not already subscribed to the channel on YouTube, and if you're watching this on YouTube and you're not subscribed to the channel, what are you doing? Go down there, hit that subscribe button. But if you're not over there, if you want to find the best way to support the podcast, even if you just like that podcast version, I don't blame you. Just go over to the YouTube channel, hit the subscribe button. Help us get to 1,000 subscribers by the end of the year. It's the best way to support the podcast. I promise I'd really appreciate it. Again, we want to get to 1,000 subscribers by the end of the year. That's our goal. It's been our goal for 2 months now. We're, as of this recording, we were at 698 subscribers, so we're just over 300 away. Can we get there? Can the fan base show out the rest of the year? We'll see. Come on. Help me get to 1,000 subscribers, guys, please. We're trying to get there, man. Show me some love out there. But Let's go ahead and talk about some of the negatives within this game. We talked about all the positives and, you know, Jeremy Grant's game, Isaiah Stewart, Killian Hayes, Kay Cunningham. Oh, also, I want to give some props to Hamidou Diallo, who continues to play really well for the Pistons, really well defensively. He was the only bench player in a positive plus-minus. He had a +2. He's playing really well. He only had 5 points. When he's on the court, the Pistons are just playing better. And he's bringing it defensively. He's bringing the hustle offensively. He's bringing it in transition, which the Pistons really needed and are benefiting from. So, Hamidou Diallo, another good game from him. But outside of that, Frank Jackson, Corey Joseph, Trey Lyles, Luka Garza, awful. All of them played awful this game. Corey Joseph played 16 minutes, was a minus 20 in an 11-point loss. Okay? Killian Hayes was a +8 in his minutes. So, basically, when Killian came off the floor, they were outscored, I believe, if you did the math, it would be minus 28, right? So, when Killian came off, Corey Joseph came in, and, yeah, it's bad. It's bad, man. Corey Joseph was not good. I'm going to continue to say it now. Earlier in the season, I was on the board. I was on the side of, you know, Saban Lee probably isn't ready. You know, he's dominating G League, but that's G League. You know, Corey Joseph is a veteran, a stable in presence. But Corey Joseph, I'm going to start questioning how much longer he's going to be able to continue to play awful. And Saban Lee, who I thought when Saban Lee played, he played well. I thought, you know, I thought Saban was earning some play time. But, you know, he hasn't played since. And, you know, majority of the time, I don't have a problem with that. You want to go with the veteran presence. But part of the reason why Corey Joseph is supposed to bring veteran presence is because he's supposed to bring stability on the court and off the court. Not just off the court talking to guys, but he's supposed to bring a veteran leadership and stability on the court. And he's not doing that. He's playing awful on the court. So I don't know if he's really helping at that point. I don't know if he's helping at all, honestly. So those guys, really bad games. We just talked about Frank Jackson, how he has been looking good recently, but he had another bad game tonight. So, you know, nothing too big. He's one of those hot and cold guys. He's going to keep shooting, but tonight was just one of those cold nights, and, you know, it sucks to have that happen, but, you know, the bench really let the Pistons down tonight. The Pistons bench was the main reason why they lost this game. The starters did what they did. The starting backcourt did what they could. The Pistons won the game when Killian Hayes and Kay Cunningham were on the court. The bench just let them down. And now, I saved this to the end of the podcast. I know, you know, I'm a very smart person. I know towards the end of the podcast, the viewership starts to die down a little bit towards the end of the podcast. I'm not dumb. And I know some of you guys are probably sick of hearing negatives about this guy. But it's unavoidable. I wouldn't be doing you guys justice if I didn't tell you guys like what was going on. Sadiq Bey had another just really bad game. He played 31 minutes tonight. He shot 2 of 9 from the floor, 2 of 6 from deep. He had 2 turnovers, and he was by far the worst starter in plus-minus. Minus 17. Sadiq is just really playing bad, man. It's just no other way around it. He's looked awful on the court. And, you know, the last podcast, we had Hal on the podcast, and we were talking about, they spent the whole podcast talking about Sadiq Bey and his struggles and the way, you know, we ended it off with how he can play better and how he can get back on track. But I don't know, man. I think we're getting close. And, you know, this is not writing the end of Sadiq Bey's story. That's not what it is. But I think we're getting close to, I think it's getting close to time where you might have to, like, demote him. Like, it really is getting close to that time when you have to, like, demote him, I think. For the better of him. Like, you have to put a chip on his shoulder. You have to try to, like, do something. Click the right button. Because right now, this isn't working. And I feel like you're almost... And someone tweeted this at me. I forget which one of you guys did, but you guys 100% were on the mark. Not only are you doing a disservice to the team by continuing playing Sadiq Bey 30 minutes when he's doing what he's doing out there, you're doing a disservice to Sadiq. You need to hold him accountable and give him, like, that chip on the shoulder and let him know, listen, man, yeah, I know you're young. We're going to give you some rope. But the rope's getting shorter. You have to play better. Because it's not just the fact that he's not hitting shots. He's just playing all around bad out there. He's making multiple back-to-back-to-back bad decisions. He's actively hurting the team while he's on the floor. I tweeted this earlier. It's sad to watch Sadiq. Because he wasn't like this at all last season. I don't know what's going on. Last season, he wasn't just actively hurting the team when he was on the floor. Right now, for the past few weeks, and honestly the entirety of the season outside the first four games, he's actively hurting the team when he's on the floor. There was one play, and I tweeted this out, and a lot of you guys hit me up and said, I was screaming at my TV when I saw this. It was late in the game. He had just got subbed back into the game. Now, for the majority of the second half, Hamidou Diallo was playing over Sadiq Bey. I believe Hamidou Diallo played like, I want to say like 13 minutes in the second half, and it was like a long stretch too. Sadiq was riding the pine for a long time in the second half, but Dwayne Casey brought him back in the game around the 6 minute mark. Sadiq, I think it legit might have been the first possession he was on the floor on the offense. Kay Cunningham's driving down the lane, driving down the middle of the lane, and Sadiq's in the right corner. His defender helps. Cade is kicking the ball out to Sadiq Bey in the corner. Now, again, we've talked about this a lot on the podcast. Sadiq is supposed to be his bread and butter from the get-go. If he wants to build stuff off of that, wants to get some side dishes at his Thanksgiving table, go ahead. But the turkey at the center of the table, the big-ass turkey at the middle of the table, is his outside shooting and catch and shooting. That's what they need from him. And that's what he's supposed to build off of. Cade has created a great look for Sadiq. A great look here. Sadiq, and again, this is what I'm saying. It's not just the fact that he's missed his shot. If he would have just shot this and missed, it would have been tough. People would be mad. But, you know, you're getting open shots, you're just missing. You know, you hope that you start to make it, but at least you're going through good process. At least you're doing the right thing. Sadiq doesn't take this open corner three, sidesteps nobody. I don't know who he was pump faking sidestepping. He sidesteps into a contested long three and misses it. I'm telling you right now, listen, I'm not an NBA coach. Obviously, these coaches, like everyone says, they know much more than all of us. How dare we say anything? But I'll tell you this much, man. If I ever become a high school coach, if I ever become a college coach or have any kind of coaching experience at all, let me see a player do something like that. I swear to God, they sit on the bench. I'd sit them on the bench, especially, maybe not the first time. I take that back. Not the first time or the second time. But after the stretch Zadig's had over the last few weeks, if he's continually done this. You guys have heard me say this multiple times in the podcast that he's been doing this over and over and over. And then after you have, you know, went with Diallo majority of the game, and Diallo's bringing you something. He's bringing you positive on the court. He's helping the team. He's outplaying Sadiq. And then you bring him in, the first thing he does is pass up a wide open corner three when the Pistons are surging. They're coming back. They're trying to win this game, legit. And you pass up a wide open corner three to sidestep into a fadeaway three over somebody? I'm not kidding. If I was Dwayne Casey, I would have called Hamidou Diallo right back up and got Sadiq in the game. Listen, man, it's tough. Again, it's sad to see Sadiq like this. I'm not kidding. It's literally sad to see him struggling like this. But at a certain point, you're doing a disservice to the team and you're doing a disservice to Sadiq. And I think it's getting close, man. I really do think it's getting close where they might have to start Hamidou Diallo or play Hamidou Diallo a lot more minutes and cut Sadiq's minutes. It's getting close to that. It's not the fact that he's missing shots. It's not the fact that, you know, he's shooting a bad percentage from three. It's the back-to-back-to-back-to-back bad decision he continually is making and how he is actively, actively providing negative impact on the floor every time he's on the floor right now. Every time he's on the floor, he's actively hurting the team. You can't accept that. I understand it's a rebuild. You're looking for development from people. You're seeing Isaiah Stewart fight out of his slump. You've seen improvements from Killing throughout the year. Sadiq, I understand it's development season, but when you have stuff like I just described happening in the game multiple times over, you got to do something. I don't know when they're going to do something. They may not do something. I think it's getting close to the point where they actually are going to consider doing something because he really did get benched for a lot of the second half for Hamidou Diallo. I think it's getting close. And, you know, I'd like to see Sadiq come out and shut that down with a good performance, but it's literally been weeks of him doing this. So I don't know if we're going to see that. I don't know, man. It's tough. This was a little bit of a longer podcast, but overall, I thought this was a fun game. I thought we you know, us as fans enjoyed that game. I hope you guys had fun watching it. The Pistons went out there. They fought. I think Dwayne Casey would be happy about how the majority of his starters played. And I thought Killian, Cade, Jeremy, and Isaiah Stewart have a lot to be happy about how they played and how hard they fought. So, tough game to lose. A good loss. One of their only good losses of the season. But yeah, it is what it is. They don't play again till Monday, which is good. They needed some rest. And thank God we're done with the Western road trip. I don't have to stay up till, what is it right now? 12:35 a.m. recording podcast when I have work in the morning at 9. So yeah, we'll be back on Monday. I'll see you guys then. I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. And again, if you want to find the best way to support the podcast, go over to that YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button. I'd really appreciate it. We're trying to get to 1,000 subscribers by the end of the year. But until Monday, oh, actually, first, let me tell you guys, that to make Locked On Bets your second listen of every single day, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs, hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms, so make sure you guys go check that out. But until Monday, I'll see you guys later. Go Pistons. A fun loss against the Phoenix Suns, but hopefully the Pistons can get back in the win column. They don't want to see a losing streak get to 10, I don't think. But anyways, I'll see you guys Monday. Peace out, everybody, and go Pistons.